Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Author Steven Rieger announces the highly anticipated release of Stormfall, Book 3 of the Storm Song Trilogy, marking the epic conclusion to a saga that began with the compelling tales of the Storm Song Sisters. Now, set against the backdrop of the 30 Years' War, this final installment promises to deliver a gripping narrative that explores themes of resilience, sisterhood, and confronting forces beyond human comprehension. His earlier works, Stormfront and Storm Surge, introduced readers to the rich tapestry of the Storm Song Trilogy, blending historical accuracy with imaginative storytelling that has resonated with the audiences. Steven Rieger brings a wealth of experience to his writing, having spent 30 years as a high school history teacher and a brief stint teaching American literature. Now based in Cincinnati, Ohio, Steven resides with his wife, Amy, and their two sons. His retirement has seen him flourish as a prolific author, having penned four novels, including the acclaimed Storm Song Trilogy and Our New Old Enemies. We welcome back to This Week in America, Steven Rieger, author of Stormfall, Book 3 of the Storm Song Trilogy. Steven, welcome back to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. The pleasure is entirely mine, and I'm glad I didn't hear that wonderful introduction before I sat down to write the final book. I would have felt tremendous pressure.
No pressure at all. Everybody enjoys what you've done. The trilogy, everybody waiting with great anticipation for the third and final in the set. You've done such a remarkable job with this. It's just really captured the imagination of readers. And let's talk about how this book is different. Where do you take the story? What can we look for in this book, the newest Stormfall?
Well, what I did not want to do was have the typical kind of cliche ending to a trilogy where everything is wrapped up, there's a nice bow on it, and we have, for the most part, a happy ending. I wanted to leave lots of things unanswered and lots of things unresolved, in part because I intend that there will be future books. I intend that there will be a follow-on trilogy dealing with the remainder of the war, and also in part that I just felt like the 30 Years' War historically, as well as this family figuratively, were just a little too complicated to kind of wrap everything up. So it's a continuation of the first two, but if readers are looking for, I want answers to all of these questions and I want all of these things resolved, that actually does not happen. There's quite a bit left over to be explored in future books.
Many fans will say that is really good news. I hated to see it end. You get to book three of the trilogy and you think, okay, close the book. It's over with. I've got to find something else to think about, to entertain myself. Probably more coming, and we'll talk about that as we go through the conversation today with Steven Rieger. That's R-E-G-E-R. His website is very simple, StephenRiegerBooks.com. You'll find the books available, of course, at Amazon, all the usual places, and at Steven's website, and all of that on our website, ThisWeekInAmerica.us. For those that maybe you're just hearing about the trilogy, the Storm Strong trilogy, tell us a little bit about, give us just a little bit of background. Who are the Storm Strongs?
Sure. Well, it's as you said, it's set against the backdrop of the 30 Years' War, which is wonderful because that's something that very few people know anything about. So it really frees me up to explore as I want to. But it also sets some parameters so that I don't have to create my own entire world. I'm a big fan of J.R.R. Tolkien and George R.R. Martin, much more imaginative, much more talented writers than I, who created their own entire universes. I didn't have to do that. I'm operating within the Holy Roman Empire of the 17th century. So at the beginning of the first book, you're introduced to the two main characters, Lady Atlantis Vanessa von Stormsong, who is your prototypical rich Catholic Austrian princess, almost literally, and this polar opposite, this almost Robin Hood character, Charlotova, a Bohemian Protestant thief who lives hand to mouth and these two characters encounter each other in the first book. By the end of the first book, you find out, well, they're not complete strangers. There is a shared history there. In the second book, Storm Surge, as they're exploring that shared history and experiencing the war, but on opposite sides, they're finding out more and more about what they have in common. And they're also building towards a possible reunion with a figure who may be a father to either or even both of them. That's how the second book concludes, with this reunion with this possible father figure, but we're not entirely sure. Now here in the third book, we have the third character, the possible father figure, the two Storm Song sisters, who we are, have now confirmed are in fact sisters, but they're moving towards a final confrontation with a villain who has been manipulating all of their lives from behind the scenes all of this time. And as the greater truth is revealed about this villain, the more of their pasts we come to find out. And then we kind of get to this final epic conclusion at the end of the trilogy with the villain. But again, it doesn't wrap everything up. Even after the climax, there's still a lot of uncertainty. Well, where do we go from here? And where do these characters go next? And meanwhile, the war just continues to go. There's 28 more years of the 30 years war still to play out.
You know, it's an amazing story. It's so well told, well developed characters, the Storm Songs. What was it that captured your attention about the Storm Songs and the 30 years war? I mentioned the background as a teacher. At what point did you really want to get into this and then develop the idea that I'd like to take that, turn it into historical fiction, and go put a little bit more, some meat on the bones with this story?
Well, the 30 Years War, I've always been fascinated by, because it's actually, in many ways, it's four unique, distinct, separate wars that all kind of get blended in together, and they all center around the Holy Roman Empire, which would be modern-day Germany. And I'm 100% German. Both of my families, you know, come from Germany, on both sides of the family. So that's always fascinated me. But the original plan was never to write that story. When I first kind of created these two characters, the original idea was that Vanessa was going to be sort of a ripoff of Van Helsing, the kind of famous vampire hunter character. And Charlottava very much is. It's obvious she's a female Robin Hood character. And my initial plan was that these two would meet and compete in Victorian England. And along the way, as I kind of thought more and more about them, and I thought, they always say, write what you know. And I don't know a thing about Victorian England, but I do know a great deal about the German language and German culture and German cooking, which I've included a lot of in the books, and German food. So I thought, well, it just makes sense to center it in Germanic history, which is what I know better than Victorian English history. So that's kind of how these two characters found themselves in that time and that place.
Find all of that in the trilogy, the Storm Song Trilogy, book three specifically we're talking about. All the books available wherever books are sold. Send you to Stephen's website, and the link for his website on our website, StephenRiegerBooks.com, R-E-G-E-R, books available wherever books are sold. I touched on it in the beginning. What's the main theme, the central message that you feel is in Stormfall?
It's the same message throughout the entire trilogy, which is it has historical links, it has scriptural links. There's a lot of scripture throughout the trilogy, but the message is, and I try not to beat the readers over the head with it, but it keeps coming up. The message is, what happens to one of us happens to all of us.
Yes.
And I'm writing in a time period where we have Austrians and Bohemians and Catholics and Protestants and rich and poor, Jews and Muslims. I mean, an empire that was almost as diverse as 21st century America, and was experiencing a lot of the same divisions and conflicts along religious and racial and cultural and socioeconomic lines. And the message that I'm trying to impart, and it's a very contemporary message, is we are not alone in this. The thing that happens to my brother happens to me, and we need to recognize that, be cognizant of that, and pay attention to that.
How do you feel that the trilogy is over? Although you've talked about the fact there could be a sequel, there could be a prequel, the fact that these three are done, is there relief that you finish these three, or is there some sadness that you're going to be leaving at least some of these people for a period of time?
There's a tremendous amount of both. there's definitely some relief, although I must say my wife has not read the third book yet, and my relief will fade when she discovers that some of her favorite characters might not make it to the end of the third book.
Uh-oh.
So I think I'm going to be in trouble there. But the sadness is tempered by the fact that I've already moved on to my next project, and I'm very excited to be writing something that's completely different from the Storm Song trilogy. So I was a little in a funk for a week or two of, oh, I'm done with them at least for now. And some of these characters didn't make it to the end of the trilogy, but I turned around and jumped right into this next project with both feet. And it's going to be the most ambitious one I've done yet that will require a great deal of research. So the sadness faded pretty quickly, and it has been replaced by a lot of frenetic energy as I'm working on the next book.
You know, there was such a buildup for book three in the trilogy, and I'm sure it was on your mind quite a bit, probably off huddling and working and going through all of this. How has your wife not seen it? Have you hidden the copy? Have you told her it's not published yet? It's not coming out till Christmas? How have you been able to keep that a secret from her?
Well, it was funny because when she finished the second book, she, like me, is very old school. She likes to hold a physical hard copy of the book in her hands, very much like me. So she didn't want to read an ebook version. She didn't want to read it as a Word document on my screen. So I remember when she finished the second book, which ends with a very big dun-dun-dun moment, then and only then, she went immediately in kind of like a Netflix next episode moment, went straight to my computer and read what I had written to that point because she wanted to see what came of the dun 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 moment at the end of Storm Surge. But once she had resolved that and was confident, okay, I know who has lived, who has died, then she has stayed away from it and she's waiting. In fact, her copy is due to arrive in the mail today. She's waiting for that hard physical copy.
Ah, good.
And she asked me, you know, like, what time today is it supposed to arrive? So she's been very patient, but I think her patience is at an end now, and she wants the book in her hands. The same with my mother. They're my two biggest fans, and they want the book in their hands so that they can physically turn the pages, and as their frustration builds, hit me over the head with the hard physical copy of the book.
Well, you can officially put an end to the trilogy now that Mom and Amy have seen the book. So as soon as that's done, you can move on to the other project.
Yeah, it feels like the movie premiere has happened now. Mom and Amy will have the books in their hands. So we can move on now.
I mentioned several times prequel, sequel, and then you're mentioning something else totally different. I want to talk the other book. Well, our new old enemies. I love the concept of that book. What are you working on now? I want to come back to talk about our new old enemies for a second.
Sure. Well, what I'm working on now is it's entitled Any Better or Equal Hope. And that comes from a quote from Abraham Lincoln in 1863. And what I'm doing with that one is I'm taking the famous Sacco and Vanzetti case, which in the 1920s was the original trial of the century. Feels like now we have a trial of the century every couple of decades.
Yes.
But in the 1920s, these two Italian anarchist immigrants were put on trial for a crime that they may or may not have committed, and they were ultimately executed. And it was the cause célèbre of the 1920s. The premise of Any Better or Equal Hope is, what if that happened in the 2020s? What if instead of Italian anarchist immigrants, what if we had a recent immigrant from Mexico and or a recent immigrant from the Middle East who were charged with a crime that we don't know whether they committed it or not? It's very much up in the air. You can make an argument either way. Would the outcome of that trial in the 2020s be any different than it was in the 1920s. So it's a modernized, fictionalized reworking of the Sacco and Vanzetti story.
Well, I hope we get a chance to talk about that. And I love the curious aspect of your mind, the curiosity aspect of your mind, where you're always asking what if. And I want to talk about our new old enemies. I don't want to give away too much here, and I'll let you maybe briefly describe it. But you've got this cabal and maybe all of these things, the catastrophic events going on weren't sort of random. There's a group behind this, and you've got Cain and Abel, FBI agents, coming in to crack the case. I love that. It's worth the read just to get to Cain and Abel with the FBI. Tell me about the premise behind our new old enemies and how you came up with that.
Yeah, I've always been fascinated by conspiracy theories, whether it's Area 51 or the Kennedy assassination or whatever. I don't know that I necessarily believe any or all of them, but they've always fascinated me. And the idea came to me of, well, what if they're not just all true? What if they're all linked? What if they're all components of one master conspiracy? So when I finished Storm Surge, I was not ready to jump right into the third book. I wasn't ready to do Stormfall yet. I needed a break. So I started playing around with these two FBI agents, Cain and Abel, and thought, well, what happens if they stumble upon the mother of all conspiracies? And of course, at first, as any rational, intelligent human being would, they just dismiss it as this is poppycock, that this can't be possible. But as the book continues to go, and the main character, Gabriel, another biblical reference, as Gabriel continues to lay it out point by point and lays out the evidence, they, and I hope the readers begin to wonder, I wonder if...
Yes. Far-fetched, but not far-fetched. So there's so much there that you can jump in on that one as well. That's our new old enemies. And again, that's available at Stephen's website, Stephen Rieger, R-E-G-E-R, website, StephenRiegerBooks.com. Books available, of course, Amazon, all of the usual places. What influence did teaching have on your writing style? And as I'm thinking about that, it's like in a classroom, you tell a story. You've got the reaction of the students as you're telling the story. Now you're off by yourself in the room and you're telling a story. Compare the difference there. Do you like having the feedback when you're talking to a class?
They're similar, but very different. As you said, to me, great teaching, especially history, is storytelling.
Yes.
And I always felt privileged to get to teach history because it was just the retelling of these stories that were, in some cases, the reality was so far-fetched, but it was true. It happened. Henry VIII really did have six wives and so on. I miss the immediacy of the feedback. I miss being in front of a room of students, and you can see in their eyes and in their expressions and in their nonverbals the immediacy of the wow, the aha moment, or the I didn't know that, or the can that possibly be true? That, of course, doesn't come with writing. You just don't have that immediacy of feedback. What I like about the writing is you have the ability to explore in greater depth. When I'm in front of a classroom, I know I have at most 45 minutes or 50 minutes or maybe even an hour. And then it's done. Then they've moved on to something else.
Yes.
Whereas when I'm sitting down to write, I can write for as many or as few hours as I want. And of course, I'm not getting any direct immediate feedback, but I can explore to an even greater level of detail and nuance that's just not possible in front of a classroom.
I was fortunate, had several really good American and world history teachers that made history come alive. And I think of them as I talk to you. I would have loved to have had you as a teacher because you're a master storyteller. And I don't mean to be political here, but how difficult is it? Maybe it's not. How challenging to be a teacher now and be able to tell a story, because history comes alive through your interpretation of history as you tell the story. Would you be able to teach the way you taught and students love now with such scrutiny as to what you're teaching?
I think so. One of the greatest compliments any student could possibly give me, and it's happened more than once, is where a student will tell me at the end of the course, I don't know where you, Mr. Rieger, stand. I don't know if you're liberal, conservative, yes, Democrat, Republican. What are you? You know, where are you? And to me, that's such a great compliment because I've been able to tell the story correctly without tainting it, without trying to put my own agenda into it. At the same time, I've always told my students, I will also answer any question you ask. If you straight up ask, what are you or what do you think? I will answer that. I'll answer it briefly and honestly, but I'll always be very clear. Now I'm showing my bias. So it'd almost be like a segue of, okay, you asked the question. This is I stand on this issue. Now we're done talking about that. Now let's come back to something that is fact and cannot be tainted by any spin, and I'm not putting any spin on it. And I think students really appreciate that when teachers are willing to be honest and vulnerable and not say, now, we're not allowed to discuss that, but at the same time are not trying to force an agenda down their throat, which unfortunately does happen on both sides of the spectrum.
Yes. And I think sometimes if you were in the classroom for years, we sell students short. I mean, I can remember sitting there and there's some things I said I agreed with. That's fine. Other things I don't. And it didn't impact me. I was, I think, smart enough to sort of figure it all out myself and put it into perspective. And I sometimes wonder, we're not giving students credit to do that. If somebody says something, they're going to automatically believe it and be tainted for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, and that was always a big message I tried to impart to my students was question everything.
Yes.
Question
yes.
the textbook. Question what you see on the internet. Question what I've told you. I'm a human being capable of error, capable of bias. Question everything. Consult multiple sources and then come to your own conclusions. And I can't honestly say that every student always did that, but I think the fact that students actually heard a teacher saying question authority was very refreshing to them, because so often that's not the message you get from teachers. The message often is, I am the sole keeper of all information and I parcel it out to you as I deem fit.
Yes.
And that's just not appropriate. Maybe it never was, but it's certainly not appropriate in the 21st century.
A couple minutes left in the program. With us, Stephen Rieger, R-E-G-E-R. He's the author of the trilogy series. Out now is book three. Book three is Stormfall. Book three of the Storm Song trilogy. His website is StephenRiegerBooks.com. He's got the other book out there, Our New Old Enemies. More in the process. So check out that that website. Get more information there as well as information on the prequel and the sequel. I want to just conclude talking about the writing process here. This is historical fiction. You're a history teacher, so you're concerned about making it as accurate as possible. Do you work from an outline? Do you have everything all laid out before you start the writing process? Or where do you go when you start the story and developing the characters? Because you've got a lot of moving parts here.
I would love to claim, yes, I had this all mapped out. I had an outline and storyboard. Nothing could be further from the truth. I will tell my wife often when I go to work, which is either at a coffee shop or a library, those are my favorite places to write. I don't know that morning what's going to happen in the chapter I'm about to write. It's a very organic process. What my creative process is when I get stumped, and this is why I like to go to the library, I will literally just go to the shelves and randomly pick up a couple of books. It could be anything from Mario Puzo's The Godfather to a science textbook on electricity. And I would just start reading random pages. And inevitably, within less than an hour, something will spark my interest. Or be like, wouldn't it be interesting if? And then I'm off. And on a really good day, I might write as much as one chapter. But I consider it a good day if I write even one scene within a chapter. And then sometimes that will, okay, now that I've written that, I know what has to happen to the next couple of scenes. But very often I will start the day with a blank slate on the screen and in my mind, and I don't know where the story is going to go. And it certainly didn't end up where I thought it was going to end up when I started the first book 2.5 years ago.
I'm going to squeeze one more question in. Sort of the opposite of writer's block is when it's just coming. You can't shut it off. Do you reach a point when you can't shut it off? You know it's time. You got to go to bed, or you got a family dinner, an obligation, a sporting event to go to. Is it difficult sometimes to put the story in the back of your mind?
It is, but my schedule is so perfect now that I'm retired. I take the boys to school in the morning, drop them off, then I go write. And I have a pretty much an exact amount of time in order to write before I need to be in line for carpool to pick them up. And so I know I'm like, oh, I just came up with 10 great ideas, but it's 1:30. It's time to start getting in line for carpool because nobody likes to be picked up last. So I always know there's a definitive time of, okay, that's it. You're done for today. There's always tomorrow.
There's so much to talk about, and we need to do this more frequently. Stephen Reger, our guest, that's R-E-G-E-R, his newest book, Stormfall, book 3 of the Storm Song Trilogy. Books available wherever books are sold. His website, his name, StephenRegerBooks.com. My thanks to KingPagersPress.com, the author's marketing consultant, for once again arranging our conversation. Stephen, it is always a pleasure. Congratulations on finishing up a trilogy that everybody loves. Looking forward to the next book, whatever it is. We'll enjoy that as well and hopefully be able to talk about it. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Pleasure was entirely mine, as always.
It is a pleasure. I'm going to take some pleasure out of it, too, because I've enjoyed this as well. Stephen Reger, our guest on the program. The new book, Stormfall, book 3 of the Storm Song Trilogy. All this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And you're listening to This Week in America. And we're back right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.